I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Graveshifter Sachs. This has been a pet card of yours since the start of the format. Where are we at with the Graveshift in these days? Still bringing back goblins, or have you shifted around?
I shift around, as we'll talk about. I'm doing a bit of a, I don't know, is it a hybrid? Are they hybrid decks? Are they schizophrenic decks? Are they identity-less decks? And it makes me like Changelings a lot. It makes me like Graveshifter quite a lot. I had the pleasure of looping Graveshifter and Grub in a deck yesterday. So having that as a goblin, I could get back, and then Grub can get back Graveshifter. And then what are you going to do with this endless stream of garbage overrated tutus? I don't know, opponent, you decide.
I got looped so hard last night. Speaking of loops, I got looped by Dawn Blessed Pennant and Tristan's Command, which was so depressing. Like, and my deck was like kind of hanging with it until like the third time around. And then I was like, all right, whatever, I'm tapping out of this.
I had that in a draft like a week ago and didn't know it was a thing until like I had both of them. And I was like, oh, dear. So for folks who don't know, Tristan's Command is the elf rare command. One of the modes is you can get back two permanents from your graveyard, and it is a kindred spell elf. And Dawn Blessed Pennant lets you choose a creature type, and then you can get back a card of that type. So you use the command to get back the pennant. Pennant comes into play. You name elves. It can get back the command. Rinse, repeat. You're getting a free permanent for your troubles and killing one of your
opponent's creature. Yeah, it's rough.
I was
doing okay, and then they hit 8 mana, and the third time they could do it every turn cycle. Then and I was like, all right, I'm tapping out now. Before it had been on an every other turn thing.
Yeah, you're like, okay, this is out of hand. I also had that in a. I had it in a paper draft this week too, which is pretty sweet. How's this for some like elves being clogged at the table? I opened Gloom Ripper, pack one, pick one. I was like, great, this is going to be easy. Let's just draft elves. Person to my left opened High Perfect Morkant, or Morkant. the rare.
Yeah, right? The black rare.
Our buddy J-Maz, two to our left, he was like, I'll take Eclipsed Elf first. Why not this? And then quickly got the message that elves was not open from the two people to his right. And he ended up pivoting to a sweet Orzhov -1/-1 counter grindy deck that took down the pod. He beat me in the finals.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm never drafting elves again. I tried it. I'm never going to do it again.
I love to hear it.
It's a joke. It's a joke, folks. Okay. Let's do some housekeeping, and then we're going to do some, basically the big theme, the main course for this week is we're just going to look at a bunch of draft logs, some of our own. We've got some from folks in the Discord. We'll see where things take us. I don't know how deep we're going to go, but just want to have like a chance to dial in on the draft decisions. Cause I think as we saw from the Pro Tour drafts last week, like a lot of the decisions, they're not compounded. It's not like pick four is where all the decisions happen, but they create these massive decision trees that I think are really interesting.
Yeah, there's big butterfly effects for sure.
Interesting to sort of be like, well, if you had taken this, you could have done this, and then just realizing like, how do those then lanes converge? If there's clearer signals, how do those lanes not converge? And I also want to talk about some of the content that I consumed this week and how it's like had me reflect on the format. So let's chat about the Patreon page. Patreon.com/Lords of Limited is where folks can go to give back to the show. We've got some great perks over at the Patreon. I'm always going to shout out the two. One is our Discord. I love our Discord community. It's hopping. It's popping. 24/7 limited tech support. I have severe FOMO for the people who are in Spotlight Eclipsed this weekend. Very excited to watch some draft coverage later today. I watched some sealed coverage yesterday. Looked like Neo Mark Anderson was on coverage at 5-0. That was cool to see. So I'm assuming that, or 4-0 maybe, it was round five. But I haven't checked socials, but I'm assuming he made day two. I know Samp made day two. Some other folks from our Discord made day two. So congrats to them, rooting you all on. But yeah, so things like that. We have a tourney meetup section of our Discord for folks who are going to these in-person paper events. I'll definitely be mining that for the Shoebox Team Sealed event that I'm doing next month. And then the other perk of our Patreon page is access to our podcast feed, where you get this episode a day early ad free, and also access to our weekly bonus episode of Lords Unlimited. I'm planning to give Ben a little constructed update on Lords Unlimited this week.
I can wait.
You look, I want to talk to my friend about the magic that I'm playing. So sue me. Okay. So I'm going to do it, and you're going to pretend like you're interested. Do the Homer Simpson, like put those glasses on and fall asleep on the jury, you know, do whatever you gotta do.
All I know is that there's, here's my current standard knowledge, is that there's a blue black deck called Dimir Excruciator, and there's mono green Landfall. That is my current knowledge of standard. And I assume that the green deck plays cards with Landfall, like Cub. Cub is a Landfall deck. Cub's not Landfall, but it plays Cub. It's green. It's got Landfall.
Oh, so you do want to talk about standard, huh? You do have questions. Very interesting.
And I don't know what Mirror Excruciator is at all. Well, other than I know that out. Rounds went to decking in coverage or something like that at the PT.
You're going
to
find out on Lords Unlimited. And you too could find out on Lords Unlimited what's going on with my standard testing for AC 11. And we also want to make sure that we shout out our patrons the first week that they join. So this week we're welcoming Logan, Colin, Carl, Eli, and Oren. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Those five fine folks are maybe potentially going to get to hear you talk about standard. Appreciate maybe your support as always.
should be so lucky. Okay, so I have mostly, sorry to say, been playing standard this week. Look, Arena Champs.
Condolences.
Thank you. Arena Champs is in 2 weekends. And with the dust settling from the Pro Tour, I'm going to be shifting my focus to that over the next few weeks. So I speed ran to Mythic, got to Mythic at number 53. Mythic constructed number 53 was my biggest accolade, because I got there at like on February 4th or 5th or whatever. So, you know, beating out all the people who weren't sickos. But I did listen to a lot of content about Limited, and I feel like I pulled some like nuggets that I was like, ooh, I'm interested about that, and I want to talk about that, and I was reflecting on that. So I'm going to share that with you, and if you have any thoughts or feelings or hopes and dreams, let me know. So Eduardo Sajgalic, shout out to our Vegas Live guest, and shout out to his top 4 performance at the Pro Tour this past weekend. He released a sort of recap video, like what he did for the testing team. And then he just recorded that for YouTube and posted it. And I was watching that. And something that he kept hammering home was like, it is perfectly fine for you to take a powerful card in a type, pack one, pick one, and hold on to it if you're not comfortable staying open until pack two, pick eight. And he said that over and over again. And I agree with him. And I think for his purposes as a limited tester or limited meeting leader, I think that is the absolute right stance. And I think it is a stance that is right for probably a good number of our listeners. Like staying open until pack two, pick eight, that was the phrasing he kept using over and over again. Staying open until pack two, pick eight is hard. And it's good. It leads to messy things, maybe more often than it leads to good things. It is something that you and I think that we can do and like to do and like to have the option to do. And I think that is the approach that we take a lot of the time when we're talking about drafts and talking about navigating drafts. But that's not necessary. It's a tough balance, because it's not necessarily that is right for everybody. And I remember watching a like recap video or something with Seth Manfield after he won the Pro Tour that I played in, where that like the Pioneer Pro Tour, where they had the Vampires, Rakdos Vampires deck was the breakout deck of that Pro Tour. And he talked about how, like, he's like, I don't really focus on limited. Like, constructed is 10 rounds, limited is 6. I feel like people can get me up to speed. I want to focus on constructed. And that's what he does. And I, you know, we got some, I'm going to try and not be too, we got some comments last week, this week. I'm just going to try and be me. But there were some comments about, like, you know, us backseating, like, said, like, oh my God, you guys think you're better than, like, two-time world champion Seth Manfield. No, I don't. Do I think I know more about this limited format than Seth Manfield? Yes, I do. And I don't think that's a hot take to say. And I don't think Seth would disagree with that. I don't, like, you know what I mean? And I think, like, Seth would probably put himself squarely in the camp of, yeah, I don't actually feel comfortable staying open till pack 2, pick 8 in this limited format that's been around for 7 days. So I, like, am going to take Champions of the Perfect and hold on to Elves for dear life. And I actually thought that was, but like, even from a high level point, I thought that was, like, mostly right. I had some quibbles with some picks of his. Maybe he had an off ramp here or there, but totally fine to do what he did. And I think, like, I don't know how to incorporate that into the future of my podcasting, but it was something that I was like, oh yeah, not everybody wants to stay open till pack 2, pick 8. And just like, I feel like my messier drafts are the ones where I'm like Merfolk Lord into Elf Lord, try and figure out what's going on. I feel like probably other people feel like their messier drafts are like when I don't take those cards and hold on for dear life, you know? So just had that reflection. Any sure. Any thoughts?
No, there's two more of these content reflections coming up. And when I opened our show notes and read these, all three of them resonated with me, I think, as great feelings points. I think some of the, like, feelings I have about, like, I feel like I'm a bit at odds with the broader community perspective with how I'm approaching the format. And I think some of it is because of what I want from a draft. Like, when I sit down to draft, I want to have an experience. Like, that is the most fun part for me. Like, I like playing the games. Yeah, sure. MTG Auto Battler. Play MTG Auto Battler when. But I love drafting. And the drafts where I would take elf card and elf card and elf card and elf card, like, once you hit a critical mass of that, the draft is not very fun anymore, and you can draft this format in such a way that the drafts are very fun and interesting, and you still end up with a very good deck. And I think that's probably where some of the separation in approaches is coming from me versus the broader community perspective.
For sure.
But I very much, when I sit down, want to have an experience until pack 2, pick 8. Like, I am not looking for a pack 1, pick 1 experience.
Yeah, I mean, those drafts, they might lead to ultimately the most powerful decks. They're also the most boring drafts.
Yes.
Where you're like, you know, that draft I talked about last week where I was like, Morkensize into Eclipse Dolph into Eclipse Dolph. Maybe some of my issue with that was that I was bored. I was like, now I just take everything that says elf on it. That's not that fun. But like, it did, you know, I 4-3'd with a deck that I wasn't even sure was that good. And I think just off the back of there's some consistency in elves. Okay. Speaking of consistency in elves, our good buddy Sam Pratt on Rough Drafts said something to the effect of, I'm sort of rephrasing it, but like, even if you don't end up in a dedicated Typal deck, you're incentivized to be in one of those 5 supported color pairs because it just gives you access to more, I mean, gold cards really, but just more cards that fit that deck than the off-color decks. Like, you know, you don't have to end up in, and I've sort of been discovering this a little bit this week, of these sort of like half elves, half goblins deck, half elves, half Kithkin, half tree folk, like whatever. These decks that are like, I was talking about this last week, of decks where I have Gathering Stone and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to name when I play Gathering Stone. Am I going to name Kithkin or tree folk? And it's going to depend. But those decks exist in those, like, you know, half Kithkin, half tree folk is green white. Half elves, half Kithkin is green black, or I guess could be green white, but probably green black. Half elves, half goblin, another green black deck. But you get my point. I've had goblin elementals decks that are red black, but you don't get to do those decks when you're red green or when you're red white or when you're black white. And that sort of clicked for me because, you know, I have been sort of thinking about this format as of like, and I think probably pushing back against the general narrative of it's only a 5, it's basically a guild set, draft these decks, draft on rails. And you and I have had success in much different spaces in the format and have been thusly, I think, pushing back on that narrative. But I was like, oh, no, this is right. Like, you don't have to be elves to be black green, but black green is one of the 5 colors that is going to give you more stuff. You know, you're not going to open a Tristan's Command or get past a Tristan's Command when you're in black white. Like, those cards just don't exist for you. So you're going to have to be a little scrappier with the power you get from those off supported color pairs. And I hadn't really thought about the format in that way.
I don't know. I want to push back against that a little bit. Like, if I'm black white, I'll just splash my Tristan's Command quite happily.
But you have to. You have to you do have a splash. Little extra work.
Sure. Yes, you have to do a little bit more work. Yes. But I think the juice is worth the squeeze in the case of Tristan's Command. But can I, to dive into a little more about, like, because I think it's easy to throw off, like, half goblins, half elves or whatever. Yeah. What do you feel like the typal elements of half elves, half goblins is bringing to the deck, right? Because one of the things about the typal decks is that then all of a sudden you get these, once you successfully land in a lane, like, let's say elves for the sake of discussion. Once you successfully land in elves, every card that says elf on it juices up your deck. And it's hard mm-hmm. for me to picture when you say half elves, half goblins, what benefit are you getting from being half elves and half goblins?
I think, so these are drafts, and I have a couple logs that are like this later on in the show that maybe we'll get to and I can describe my feeling. But I've had drafts where I'm not seeing power. And so I'm trying to cobble together power from whatever I can. And I'm feeling like a color pair is open. And I like one of these drafts I have where I was like, I think elves is open, but I'm thinking elves is open because I'm seeing like late commons and commons that the commons that I think are generally considered good, like a Dawnhand Eulogist, pick 7, a Scarblade Scout, pick 7 or 8. Like those things, I think the community at large would think, oh, that's late for those cards. I don't personally, but I had this draft where I was like, I think this is late for these, and I think that means elves is open. And then some stuff wheeled, got an Assert Perfection, the green bite spell, pick 9, which I think is, again, another card that is widely considered good. And so drafts where I identify that something is open, but I'm not necessarily getting the Morkan's Eyes or the Eclipsed Elves or things like that, things that care about elves, but it's like black-green is open. You're just not getting the stuff for it. And so that means that I can basically, in this dovetails into a point and my third content point, which was Matt Costa on Jerry T's podcast this week, said this point of if you draft a typal deck that isn't a 9 out of 10, you should just draft a mid-range deck without a theme. And that is, I think, where these decks are falling, the camp that these decks I'm talking about are falling into, where I'm like, well, I think I'm supposed to be green-black. And when I normally would think of a 9 out of 10 green-black deck doesn't want to touch Wary Farmer with a 10-foot pole, my green-black not focused deck definitely wants a 3-mana 3/3 that's going to let me surveil every turn, you know?
Sure, but that just feels like what you're describing there just feels like a step away from the Vivid decks that I've been drafting.
I agree, except for me, I've been less shy about, like, you know, I played Grub in this green-black deck that I think had...
Like leaning into a typal package?
A typal package being like, and thusly really bumping up changelings. Like once I realized like, oh, I'm in black green, I've got a grub, I've got this other thing that cares about elves. Let me just start taking changelings. Cause like,
sure,
this is
yeah,
where my,
that's where I've been at on format. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then I guess I'm just saying I'm catching up to you in that respect. Cause I haven't, it wasn't until this week that I was starting to draft like, oh, I can be green white and I can be Kithkin elves and that's fine. And if I have like the Kithkin, I'm green white and I have the Kithkin 2-drop, that doesn't mean that every other creature in my deck has to be a Kithkin.
Sure. It sounds like if there's a, like what I'm gathering from this conversation is if we think about it like a spectrum, like maybe like a linear number scale of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 1 is all the way to the left is full typal mm-hmm. and like a whatever. A 5 is like 5 color garbage or like you're like 3 to 4 color, like play all the powerful cards, right? Like the Vivid decks were talking about.
Yes.
And like 4 is where I want to be, which is like 2 color Vivid. Mm-hmm. You're like a 3. You're like right in the middle. Like you're doing all of the stuff minus caring about the what I'm doing, which is the additional colors to try to give myself outs to hit the Vivid payoffs.
Right. I feel like I've discovered what the 3 is on that scale this week. These sort of like, it's not a Vivid deck. It is a half typal deck glued together by good mid-range cards and changelings.
And what that root probably gives you that the Vivid decks don't is you're like, I'm more likely, I think, with how I'm drafting to end up with Vivid payoffs. And I think you're more likely to end up with a typal package. Like,
correct.
We're just more likely to get certain benefits from the draft.
I think that's also one of the things that has been difficult for me, just like in podcasting about this, is that like, you and I are both having different experiences from each other and different experiences from what feels like the community at large. And we're both having success. And so it's hard to be like, I think you're wrong. Or like, I think I'm right. Because like, I, it's just like, that's not how it works, but it's hard to dig in a little bit deeper. You know, you and I were talking, I don't know if we'll get to this pick, but we were talking about a pick in one of your draft logs earlier where you were like, I don't want to take that card. And I was like, I think if you ask 20 people, they're going to tell you to take that card. And like, where do you go from there? What conversation can you have?
That's a bit of an impasse.
We're just done.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. February is full of flowers, candy, stuffed animals, and of course, lots of talk about relationships and dating. And whether you're married or engaged or dating or single or just focusing on you, therapy can find you, help your way, and see more clearly where you should be.
Sometimes it can feel like everyone has it all together in their love lives, but the truth is most of us are still figuring it out and finding our way. I first sought out my therapist to talk through my relationship with my parents, but I quickly realized that other relationships in my life, like those with my wife and my son, were also ripe for exploring and being curious about, and it's definitely made me a more aware husband and father.
Everyone's still just figuring it out, and if you want to figure it out with someone's help, give BetterHelp a try. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. A short questionnaire helps you identify your needs and preferences, and if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from our tailored recs.
Whether you're working on a relationship or yourself, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/lords.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lords. And now, back to the show.
And so with that, I would say let's draft, unless you've got any thoughts more about those pieces of content.
No, I loved all three of those gems. But you didn't mention the true gem from Matt Costa, which is your goblins deck can win without attacking. You have a good goblins deck. That really resonated with me, because the ones where I've been like, oh, this deck's great, like you just have out two of the mischief card.
Uh-huh.
And your opponent just can't win. And when I lose to the goblins decks, that's where it is. Like, I just end up conceding to the good goblins decks. I'm like, oh, there's no way for me to do damage to them without killing myself.
Well, I think he was saying that. I mean, that is definitely in line. I mean, it's another way of saying what I was saying a couple weeks ago, which is like, you need Boggart Mischief, Boggart Curse Crasher, and Lasting Tarfire. You need the cards that win without attacking. But I wasn't thinking like, no, literally goblins decks cannot win if they're trying to win by attacking. And I think that is also true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciated Matt Cross, because I feel like goblins got a lot of flack.
It's getting a lot of slander. Goblins, just like, anytime anyone mentions anything good about elves, goblins also just takes a stray bullet on the way.
Somehow takes a stray, which is just so savage for it. Yeah. But though, so we have someone in our Discord who like every week does an update of what, you know, from, we have a trophy channel where people post their trophy decks. And then someone who assembles, like does data collection of those, like what color pairs are winning for the Lord's Limited Discord. And I love that goblins is, I think, number three. Red Black is number three in our Discord, which just means they're in the right place. People
know
right
what's
place.
Up. We've got the good ones.
Okay, which draft log do I want to do? Okay, I want to do the second one, I think. Are you ready to go on a journey with me?
I am ready.
Okay, pack one, pick one. I took the aforementioned Grub, Storied Matriarch. This is the 2 and a black 2/1 menace. When it enters or transforms, you return up to one target goblin card from your graveyard to your hand. Flips into a red 2/1 with menace that can, you know, sort of make copies of things if you blight onto them. I took that over, I believe, the Kithkin Signpost Uncommon, the green white 2-drop. Do you like that take?
Yes, absolutely. Thoughtwef Lieutenant.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. You even know its name. Kithkin is not on my radar. I will say the Kithkin or not, don't really do it for me. Okay. And speaking of the Kithkin, pack one, pick two. So the following guards are options: Marrow Sky Swimmer, the Azorius Hybrid 2/2 Flying Vigi with Convoke. Feed the Flames, 3 and a red, deal 5. Moving on to the uncommons, there's a Creekwood Safe Right. The 1 and a black 5/5 comes in with 3 counters, and then if you have an elf in your yard in your end step, you remove a counter from it. Klacken Festival, the 2 and a white and Kithkin Enchantment. When it enters, you make 2 1/1s, and you can pay 4 and a white to make a 1/1 green and white Kithkin creature token. And I would be lying if I didn't say I clocked that there was a Bark of Doran in this pack. But that's neither here nor there. What do you like out of this pack? Because I feel like those three cards that I shouted out, not Feed the Flames, but Sky Swimmer, Safe Right, and Festival were all cards I was heavily considering.
Yeah, there's nothing else for me. For me, this pick pretty quickly boils down to Feed the Flames versus Creekwood Safe Right, I think.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean,
already diverging.
Fine also, there's no world where Sky Swimmer and Grub are making the same deck for you, right?
They could.
It could happen, but it's unlikely.
They could, but it's unlikely. Yes.
I think, and with your newfound, like how old is this draft from earlier in the week? With your newfound half goblins, half elves, like any eyes for Saferight here now, or do you still don't like that pick?
Saferight was my initial thought because I was like, keeps me black. And this was, I drafted this last night and I was like, I think this keeps me black and I'm not mad about, like, I've seen the light. I know I can have goblin, cares about goblins and cares about elves cards in the same deck. But I ultimately thought, like, I think Saferight is both a less flexible pick than Sky Swimmer and potentially a less powerful pick than Festival. I don't like Festival.
I don't like Kith Kentiple. I'm here for all the Typal decks. Kith Kentiple is a tough ask.
I agree. I don't like Kith Kentiple that much. And I also, but Glacken Festival has just felt like there are just some matchups where it's really good. There's some matchups where it doesn't matter. But there's some matchups where I feel like it's really good. And maybe this is just me facing it more than playing it that I've found like, oh, this card's going to be a problem because I want the game to go long, but I don't want the ground gummed up or whatever. But I ultimately just thought that like Sky Swimmer is just such a flexible pick here. And I didn't feel strongly enough about anything in the moment that that's why I landed on the Sky Swimmer.
I think I would take Saferight here. Personally.
And are you, so you're taking Saferight to say like, I'll be black, we'll figure it out. Both of these can go in the same deck. I could end up heavy elves. I could end up heavy goblins, whatever.
I think Saferight's just a good card. And I like, I like the black changelings
and
quite a bit.
And it's a two drop in a format where there, it's a good two drop in a format where there aren't good two drop.
Yeah. And then you also give yourselves the chance to be elves.
Yeah. I'm curious. I don't know what the Tata says. I'm curious what folks out there say. I feel like there's arguments to be made for those cards. I landed on the Sky Swimmer myself.
Yeah.
Pack one, pick three. I think more interesting, though, again, boils down to two cards for me. One is the titular card of the episode, Graveshifter, 3 and a black, 2/2, changeling. When it enters, return a creature from your graveyard to your hand. And I think Protective Response would be the other card I'd shout out. The 2 and a white instant with Convoke, destroy target attacking or blocking creature.
Yeah, I think those are the two cards in consideration. It's not close for me, though. This is a clear Graveshifter for me. Grub is way better than Sky Swimmer, and we want to get deeper into black.
It makes me think about, I was inching towards this when we were talking about Hail, when I was coming up with Hail, but there is a, it's like, I want flexibility somewhere in there, because that's part of why I'm taking Sky Swimmer and Graveshifter. Like, Graveshifter isn't a haymaker, it's not an answer, but it's so flexible, and that flexibility makes it powerful at this point in the draft.
Yeah, I love Graveshifter.
Yeah. Okay, so we're in agreement on the Graveshifter here. Pack one, pick four, another tricky spot, I think, for me. And for me, it boiled down to a choice of two picks. One is Iron Shield Elf, the 1 and a black, 3/1, discard a card. This creature gains indestructible until end of turn, tap it. You'll be hearing more about this card on Constructed Corner on Lords Unlimited, Ben.
You'll love to see it. Ben Slayer Angel making an appearance.
And the other card, I think, is Wanderbrine Trapper, the single white 2/1 merfolk. Pay one, tap another untapped creature you control, tap target creature and opponent controls.
Interesting.
Is there a card you want to shout out? What do you want to shout out?
I want to shout Mistmeadow Council out. Like, I've got eyes for that here. I think I'm too low on Wanderbrine Trapper. But it's also hard for me, like, so here's, I see that you selected Wanderbrine Trapper, not for spoilers, but I think that's helpful for people to know for the conversation. Yeah. I feel so much more pulled. Like, this is where I have issues with, like, I've seen a lot of takes this past week of like Numa and a couple other people on socials and some talk in the Discord of like, I'm just going to take the best card out of every pack for a long time and then figure out what I'm doing. But like, I still feel, let's say we have Grub, Graveshifter, Marrow, Sky Swimmer, Wanderbrine Trapper. We're going to have to keep, because all of our cards are typal cards at this point. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to keep choosing a type eventually.
Correct.
And like, I just feel so much more pulled towards the black cards than I do the white cards that like when that comes up, I know I'm going to choose the black cards. So I already want to start solidifying myself in places where I get to play those black cards, which is to me either black red goblins, which is my hope, or black green stuff.
Well, and this,
but it's
this
it's also hard for me in drafts when we start out black, because black is so unhelpful with the vivid strategies that I like to do. Like, black is actively not, doesn't play well with others in that space.
Well, and if one of the things we're thinking about as we're like dialing in on these drafts is these butterfly effects, these, you know, pivot decisions, these, or pivotal decisions rather, you know, if you take Creekwood Saferight pick two, I think this becomes a a pretty trivially easy Iron Shield elf. Like then you just
have four
black cards and you're fine. Like the Marrow Sky Swimmer throws the wrench in here. And I was thinking like, I mean, maybe I still should have taken Iron Shield elf here. Not getting in the comments. People gave us feedback that maybe we're too low on this card. I see it. Like sometimes I see it's good. And sometimes my opponent played Sourbread Auntie and then this card is just nothing.
Iron Shield
does nothing against 1/1.
So bad to me.
I really don't like it. And sometimes you do get free attacks with it, but sometimes I don't really want to discard a card to it and it doesn't do anything. So I don't know. It's not my favorite card. I do think Wanderbrine Trapper is very good for the Merfolk deck. And because I do have Sky Swimmer, I like it. And I also was like, I don't know, I've got this Graveshifter. It's not crazy that I end up doing something a little weirder with this Merfolk package. So that's why I took the Trapper. It's possible I'm too low on the elf. My experience with the elf has just not been that it's like better than like, I still feel like, is Lisalana Informant better than this card? Oh yeah.
That's how I feel also, but I loathe Iron Shield elf. And if I had done my route through the draft, if I'd gone black card, I would take Iron Shield elf here.
Correct. And then pack one, pick five. This is, we'll go through, I think probably the whole pack one here. Pack one, pick five feels like a clear question mark. Wary Farmer for me, because this pack is very flat power level wise. I have two white cards. I just love, like, I feel like this is my, I'm not loving, I mean, I do think Wary Farmer is just a really good card. Like, I can't tell you how many times my opponent plays it on turn three, and I'm like, I don't want that sticking around. I want that off the battlefield.
It's a very good card.
And the fact that it gives me flex, like, I can still go black green with this. I can go play this in my Merfolk deck. I can play my Merfolk package in my Kithkin deck. I don't know. Is there the other, maybe the best card in the pack is Feed the Flames, but we're pretty far away from that right now.
Yeah, but that's the reason to take the black route through the draft is that then you get to take Feed the Flames in here and set yourself up for goblins.
Yeah, well, and speaking of setting yourself up for goblins, pack one, pick six, ding, 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 Eclipsed Boggart is in the pack.
Yeah, that's where when I initially went through this draft, I was like, okay, great. We found this Eclipsed Boggart. We've already got Grub. Let's lock in goblins at this point.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
You did not.
But I also don't think I was supposed to. Like, it's tough because, so we can jump ahead. Like, I took cards through the rest of pack one.
That were goblins cards.
Assuming I was going to be goblins. I assumed Eclipse Boggart pick six is a signal. I've got Grub. I've got Graveshifter. Let's go. And I completed pack one with that mission. Pack two, pick one. There are not goblins cards in the pack. The gobliniest card is Chaos Spewer, the two Rakdos Hybrid 5/4 that has you pay two or blight two when it comes in. But there is
luckily for you, there's a mythic rare Bitterbloom Bearer here, which you're easily snapping up.
Easily snapping up. Thrilled to take it. Happy to do so. And I am basically mono black at this point. Like my red cards are a Warren Torchmaster and a Tweez. Pack two, pick two. Literal no goblins cards. But lucky for me, there is a Tristan's Command. The four black green kindred spell.
Easy snap up. And that was when I was like, oh, okay, there's more juice on this bone here. I was going through the draft log.
Pack two, pick three. No goblins cards, really. Like a Boggart Prankster, a Burning
Curiosity. Prankster wants to differ. I like this card. We were talking about this pre-show. I'm a believer in the old Prankster.
You want to do this on mic? Boggart Prankster. Like when I feel I'm happy to include, happy to include Boggart Prankster in my deck is when I have like a critical mass of things in my three drop slot that want to blight. Like if I have three Boggart Mischiefs and, you know, whatever, things that like need toughnesses to blight onto. Yeah, sure. Then sign me up for my 2-mana 1/3. But otherwise, I do not like that card that much.
I would not pick it here, to be clear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really love what I picked, but I did feel like, okay, like we just picked up the Tristan's Command. There's a Lisalana Dignitary in the pack, the 1 green, 2/3, behold an elf or pay two, and you can add green green with it if there's an elf in your graveyard. And this is when I was like, am I going to be black green elves goblins at this point? And I didn't know what to do. Pack two, pick four was where I decided, yes, that is what I'm going to do.
Because it's deciding time, yeah.
Pack two, pick four is big deciding time because the choices are between Eclipsed Boggart, number two, or Tristan, Callous Cultivator, the 2 green, 3/4, Death Touch, double-faced card that mills three and gains two on one side, mills three and drains two on the other side.
Yeah, card's great.
I think the card is fine. Like 3-mana 3/4 Death Touch is good. It's got types. It's not. I don't think it is a better card than Eclipsed Boggart. But at this point, in the draft, I was like, I think my power is going to come from, like, my best card by a lot is Tristan's Command.
Correct.
And my second best card is Grub. And I guess Eclipsed Boggart by proxy. And I was like, I think it's time to split the difference here. And that is what I ended up doing. And I don't think that, like, these decks are... And from it was from this point on where I was like, anything with Changeling is getting, like, two gradations of a bump for me because of what I need from these... For my what I need to fill out this deck. And this deck ended up 5-3-ing. And it was a black-green deck with Changelings and Wary Farmers and an Eclipsed Boggart, an Eclipsed Elf, a Grub, a Tristan. Like, it's not focused, but it is in black-green. And I think there are drafts... Like, this opened up a world for me of thinking of, like, okay, there are drafts where I'm not... Like, I'm going to end up in black-green, and it's not going to be the Nuts Elf deck, but it can still be a good deck. And how I navigate that... I think was a level up for me this week.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. What do you got?
All right. I've got a best of three draft here. Pack one, pick one. Started out with Tam Mindful First Year. It's one in Simic Hybrid for a 2/2 rare. Each other creature you control has hexproof from each of its colors, and you can tap it to give target creature you control all colors until end of turn, which pretty sweet for the Vivid decks that I like to draft. I've not had a chance to play with it yet. And this was a weak pack. Like, I don't remember what the other good cards here were, but it was, I think it was a pretty clear Tam. I don't remember what else was there.
Tam's pretty good because it's flexible. It's a good two
drop.
It's
flexible, and it's basically a flag bearer. Like, you have to kill it before you can kill anything else.
It's Mother of Runes.
Yes. That can't protect itself.
No, Giver of Runes. Sorry. Giver of Runes is the one that can't protect itself.
Mother of Runes the name of Mom?
Yeah, Mother of Runes is Mom. Giver of Runes is the one that can't protect itself.
Yeah, my opponent at the pre-release, that in-person pre-release I did in Fort Wayne, I went to kill their Tam, and they tapped it to make it all colors, and I was like, that still dies. And they were like, no. And they read it, and they were like, oh, but it was all colors on the way out.
Good for you, opponent. Good for you.
Pack one, pick two. See the following cards as options. There's basically no commons in consideration. There's a Seer, one in a red instant, deal four to a creature of Planeswalker. There's a Tanyafel Rhyme Speaker, three in a blue, 2/4. When you cast a spell with mana value 4, greater draw card. And there's Endblaze Epiphany, red X for an instant, deals X damage to target creature. And when that creature dies this turn, exile a number of cards from the top of your library equal to its power. Then choose one exile this way until the end of your next turn. You can play that card.
Yeah. There's a Seer, there's a Moon Vigil Adherence in this pack, but Rhyme Speaker versus Endblaze Epiphany is where I would land. And I would ultimately land on the side of Endblaze Epiphany. I think that card is busted.
It's close. You could give me either one of them and I would be fine. I took Tanyafel Rhyme Speaker. I just have felt anytime I have it and it's on the battlefield, I cannot lose. And anytime my opponent has it and it's on the battlefield, I cannot win. Like, I think its ceiling, if it sticks around, is higher than Endblaze. Endblaze is a much more consistently powerful card.
There's something to be said for non-bomb cards that feel like they have to be killed. And, like, Tanyafel Rhyme Speaker is that. Like, we're talking about removal versus a thing that needs a removal spell.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, if I Seer your Rhyme Speaker, you feel bad. But if Rhyme Speaker sticks around, you feel great. It's a unique kind of card.
Do you remember when you laughed at me when I put this in my top uncommons?
I don't know if I laughed at you. I definitely thought you were wrong.
Okay, so I took the Tanyafel Rhyme Speaker here, pack one, pick two. That was a very hard choice. I think you could go either way. And I don't think it really changes the draft that much. Well, actually, it does change it.
Massively changes it.
Yeah. Never mind. I forgot. It does change the draft.
Okay.
So pack one, pick three. See the following cards as options. There is a Changeling Wayfinder. 3 mana for the Changeling 1/2. When it enters, you can search your library for basic land. There's an Assert Perfection. 1 in a green. Sorcery target creature you control gets +1/+0. Deals damage equal to its power to one target creature an opponent controls. There's Sourbread Auntie. 2 red for a 4/3. When it enters, you can blight 2. If you do, make 2/1/1 black and red green, black and red goblin tokens. Just 2 colors, not 3. And there's an Unbury. 1 in a black for an instant. Choose 1. Return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand, or return 2 target creature cards that share a creature type from your graveyard to your hand.
I love Unbury.
You do love an Unbury.
I do love Unbury. I think it's definitely my most drafted uncommon in the format. And for a while, it was like just in my top 10 drafted cards, period, because I just love it so much.
My most drafted card, not close to close. I was looking last night. I was doing some tooling around on 17 lands, and I took a stop by the most drafted cards. It's the blue-red elemental common. the hybrid.
Oh, that tracks. That tracks. I think I hope it still is for me. Cinderstrike was my number one for a long time, which just felt great because I think that is just, it's nice to have the best common be your most drafted common. It's pretty rare. So with your path here, it's interesting. I still kind of want to make a case for Unbury for you just because I think it's so powerful. And you do have two wizards.
Two wizzies.
So just to be clear, if I have my route where I have the Endblaze
Epiphany.
Epiphany, I think Sourbread Auntie or Unbury as follow-ups to that are good. With your route, I think I would take Unbury or Assert Perfection. I'm curious to hear... I think I'm going to push back on this, but I want to hear the Changeling Wayfinder argument.
Yeah, I took Changeling Wayfinder here. My argument for Changeling Wayfinder is I don't feel great about any of these cards. Like, I don't feel like I have a good direction in the draft right now. I don't feel like this pack particularly presents me good options to go down in the green decks I like to draft. I don't value Assert Perfection particularly highly. Like... there's a limited slot for removal, and I just like
want
liminal
it to
hold
do its thing.
And other kinds of cards better than that.
I think that tracks. I think that's something to worth saying here is that like Assert Perfection is better the more certainly creature dense your deck is, and also the more like assertive your deck is. In more fiddly decks, you want your removal to do the thing every time you see it.
Correct. Yeah. So I just don't value Assert Perfection that highly, and I'm kind of headed that way with Tam and Tanya Fell Rhyme Speaker, but I don't, so there's nothing that's pulling me here, and Changeling Wayfinder is pretty likely to make my final deck and be a good card. Like, the decks I draft hate missing land drops, and I don't value Changeling Wayfinder super highly either. Like, I'm not thrilled with this pick, but I'm not, like, you can hand me a card out of this pack, and I don't think it would affect my draft decisions going forward that much.
Interesting. Yeah, the two cards in the upper left, if this were pack one, pick one, I would be, that's where my mind is going, is Unbury.
I agree. Yeah, if this were pack one, pick one, I would absolutely take Sourbread Auntie or Unbury. But this goes back to, so maybe there's something here that's worth diving into. This goes back to, I have the exact same feeling about this pick that I have about your draft. Like when we started, so going back to your draft, we started with Grub. Into Sky Swimmer, which I didn't love. Like, I wanted to take Safe right there. Into Graveshifter. And the tiebreaker for me is always, like, once we have Graveshifter and Grub, I'm always pulled towards Graveshifter and Grub when I'm faced with decision points. So I just want to start, like, I know that's where I'm going to lean. So I just start leaning a little earlier. And in my draft here, I value Tam and Tanya Fell Rhyme Speaker as a package way more than I do. Like, I'm never, like, those Tanya Fell Rhyme Speaker and Tam pull me in a direction. Unbury or Sourbread Auntie.
What is the direction?
Some sort of vivid deck that's going to play for the late game.
That is likely to be what colors? Blue, green, blue, red?
If I get Shine Strikers, thank you to whoever pointed out that it's Shine Striker and not Shrine Striker. Never struck a shrine in its life in the Discord. That was very funny. That got me good. If I get that, I'll be base blue. If not, I'll probably be green something, maybe splashing Rhyme Speaker, or maybe I'll abandon the Rhyme Speaker. But I already like Tam way more than I like Unbury or Auntie. And it's hard for me to imagine decks where all of those cards go together. And then when I'm faced with decision points, I'm going to steer towards Tam. So I'd rather just, I really don't like being pulled in disparate directions in this format.
I think we're uncovering something here about like approaching this format, because I hear that. I think I'm like somewhere in the middle. I feel like I hear that, but that is what, like, that's the reason why you don't ever or rarely end up in Kindred
Typo decks. Yes. Yeah.
Is because, like, to do that, like, if you're going to end up in a Kindred deck, it's, you're going to take Sourbread Auntie here and be like, well, if Goblins is open, I'll be Goblins. Or you take Unbury here and you're like, Goblins is open or Elves is open. That's kind of why I like the Unbury pick, is like, you could end up in Elves with Tam. You could end up in Blue Black and Unbury is good. You know, like, it could be a good splash in your Vivid deck. I don't know. Hold on. I want to just finish my thought about.
I've got another thought about the same thing too. So you go.
But the difference of, like, in my draft, you want to take black card, because you want, it seems like you're valuing, I would like as many of my early picks to make my deck as possible.
Yes.
Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, absolutely. That's a fair assessment of my stance for this format.
There's a whole other camp. I think there's a majority camp that, well, we never talked about this difference before, really, in these words. This other camp of like, I just want to take powerful card, powerful card, powerful card, and I don't care if it's Merfolk card, Elves card, Kithkin card, and then I'll figure it out. And I think I'm somewhere in the middle where I'm like, I don't feel like I want to take the most powerful card to a point, but I'm also now feel like I'm seeing this like this number three option of like, I could do both. I could play Merfolk and Kithkin in the same deck, and it's not the end of the world.
Sure, sure, sure. I think the what I don't like about, for me, and I, like if it's working for other people, don't let me yuck your yum. What I don't like about the taking the powerful card, powerful card, powerful card is I think there's several things that are going on there. Like, I think primarily those people are drafting best of one. And I think there you can get away with that more because you're going to get good cards later than you should be. And I think that strategy starts to fall apart a little bit more. This is all hypothetical, but my gut says that strategy starts to fall apart the more competitive your pot is. And I think for me personally, like, those like the Sourbread Auntie, and if Goblins is open, fine. I've got this Merfolk Lord, and if Merfolk's open, fine. Eventually, you still have to pick and like hope, and so much like this is where I have so much cognitive dissonance with the format for the typal decks is that so much of the power from the typal payoffs, like the cards that people are like, oh, this card's awesome, comes from the fact that your lane was open and you got the requisite number of creature cards that say that type on it. And I'm scared. Like, I'm just scared to like, I'm just scared to commit. And so, and I feel like I found this other way to draft where I don't have to commit. Mm-hmm. And so like I commit to doing this. I'm committing to a different thing, but the thing I'm committing to, there's not many fish in the pool that are trying to do the thing that I'm trying to do. Do you know what I mean? So I'm committed to not being committed. And that usually works out for me because there's not other people who also have fear of commitment in this format.
Yeah, I think it's just very interesting. Like for me, I don't want to take Changeling Wayfinder here, and so I feel like we're sort of at a like a.
I also don't want to take Changeling Wayfinder here, but like what yeah. I think the difference in how we're feeling about this pick is that if you hand me Unbury, I'm not like really considering it as a card for my deck. Or if you hand me Sourbread right. Auntie, I'm not really considering it as a card for my deck. And I am Changeling Wayfinder. Like, I feel like I'm drafting this format the way LSV drafts Cube.
That is the primary content that you consume. So that tracks.
But I don't normally draft retail limited formats that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think if you took Unbury or Sourbread Auntie, you're factoring them into your future decisions way for more sure. than I would be.
Perhaps more than yes. Tam and Rhyme Speaker. Because, that's like, hard because for I do put weight on like the later I see something, the more I take it as a signal. And so I'm like medium on it. But if I saw like Sourbread Auntie or Unbury into Eclipsed Boggart, for example, I would be like, great, get these first two picks out of here. Like I would automatically the scale shift to the goblin cards are now ahead of my first two picks.
But then what if the goblins don't float? Like that's so scary for me because you can just get hard cut.
You can, but what you are preventing yourself from ever experiencing is when it's not.
I agree. I rarely get a deck that is a 10 in this format. I live in decks that are 6.5s to 8.5s or something like that. 6s to 8s.
Well, and to Matt Koss's point on Jerry's podcast this week of like, if you're not getting 9s and 10s, then you don't care about like you're doing what you're doing, but you're just basically saying I'm not even going to give myself the outs to have the nines or the tens.
But that's where I think that's what I do think is a leak in how I'm drafting. That's what we were talking about last week. Like it's a leak in how I'm drafting the format that I'm not giving myself. It's so weird that I ended up here because I feel like I'm usually the person on the podcast who is championing you gotta leave yourself outs to get into the best decks. And for whatever reason in this format, I have sort of eschewed that role in the podcast that I usually play. And I don't know why that has happened. But one other thing that I wanted to ask you, back when we were on your Elves deck, your Tristan deck, first draft that we looked at, your hybrid Elves Goblins deck, is that draft was extremely high powered. Uh-huh. Most of my drafts have not been in this format.
Like in terms of the cards you're seeing?
In terms of card quality, yeah.
Well, I mean, part of that was
But also that some of that is I'm not leaving myself out to the ceilings of the Typal decks. So maybe the drafts just feel lower powered to me because I'm not. Do you know what I mean?
That is where the power is. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but the power is large. That's sort of what I think Samp's point was about, like, that's why you're more incentivized to be in just those five color pairs, not even divorcing it from thinking about them as elves and Kithkin and whatever. But just because that's where you get Tristan's Command. That's where you get, like, you know, how many times have I opened, if I'm blue-green and I open Sig, I'm like, kind of, dang it. Like, do I splash white so I can flip Sig? Because that's where the power from Sig comes from. But I don't care about, Sig doesn't care about being a merfolk, but it does care that you're blue-white, you know?
Yeah, Sig's not particularly splashable, but a lot of the command cards are.
The command cards are, but again, are you going to achieve their ceiling if you don't have half a dozen elves to copy? No, not really. Like, you want all of those modes, access to all of those modes, you know?
Yeah, heard.
So,
anyway. All right. I think that was an interesting detour here. We've got Tam, Tanufel. I took the Changeling Wayfinder because I've got Fear of Commitment, and we're moving on to...
When's your wedding date? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, June 27th. pack one, pick four. I feel like my Fear of Commitment is sort of justified here. I don't know.
That's exactly what someone with a Fear of Commitment would say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's self-fulfilling prophecy. This is why you're all alone with Valentine's Day coming up, everyone. This is why you're all alone. Awareness Day.
Oh my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Pack one, pick four. The following cards are options. There's a Great Forest Druid in the pack.
The whole pack is
not much. There's a Great Forest Druid, one in a green for an 0/4, tapped out a mana of any color. There's a Gristle Glutton. If you had taken Sourbread onto your Unbury, that's the one in a red 1/3. You can tap Blight 1, discard, draw. World's latest Scarblade Elf, or Scarblade Scout, that I've ever seen in my life. One of black 2/2, lifelink when it enters, mill 2 cards. And I think that's it.
Yeah, this pack is real bad. Yes. Yeah. I guess Scarblade Scout is air quotes the best card in the pack, but this pack is bad and it doesn't matter. And you're happy to have Great Forest Druid, and I am medium happy to have Gristle Glutton. Like, I want Gristle Gluttons in my Goblins decks. I do not want to have to pick 4 Gristle Gluttons for my Goblins deck.
Correct. So took the Great Forest Druid, moving on to pack one, pick 5. See the following cards as options. There's quite a few options here. I wasn't sure what to take here for my pile. So there's a Wary Farmer, which is great. There's a Gangly Stompling, the 2 and Gruul hybrid for the 4/2 Changeling with Trample. There's another Changeling Wayfinder. There's Unexpected Assistance, the 3 blue instant with Convoke, draw 3, discard a card. There's Unwelcome Sprite, 1 and a blue 2/1 flying. Whenever you cast a spell during an opponent's turn, Surveil 2. Where are you at on Unexpected Assistance these days? I've come down a bit. It's outstanding in Merfolk, and I have moved it down a little bit outside of that deck. Value from other places, yeah.
Well, you love Flaring Cinder, and I love Gristle Glutton. So we both love, like, card selection, but I find that I need a card burst to make that card selection as best as it can be. And Unexpected Assistance does it almost better than anybody. It plays really well with your Rhyme Speaker. I get taking Unwelcome Sprite here. Unwelcome Sprite has just felt homeless to me, kind of. Like it's a good 2-drop, but I don't know where I want to play it.
I agree, but I think, again, you could hand me any of... that's not true. You could hand me either Unwelcome Sprite or Wary Farmer here, and I'd be fine.
Yeah, it is weird. I do kind of think I like both of those better than Unexpected Assistance in this spot, but that's partially because it's kind of why I would make that maybe the case for Wary Farmer is like, you take Wary Farmer and you're just green
You're just green. I like the case for Wary Farmer. I accept that case. I think I should have taken Wary Farmer here.
I don't know. But yeah, baby. If you have Unbury, snap up Unwelcome Sprite.
Snap up Unwelcome Sprite.
I haven't drafted fairies since early access. I'm like dying, and it was so good for me. I'm just like dying to get it again, but it's not right to do.
Yeah, I like your argument for Wary Farmer. I think that was a mispick, and I think I should have taken Wary Farmer there.
Okay, what's next?
Pack one, pick 6. Get a Liminal Hold, I think, as clearly the best card in the pack. And this draft, one of the spicy things was I wheeled Wildvine Pummelers, which is super nice with Wombo Combo with Tam. You turn something 5 colors, and then you can play it for 2 mana, which was sick.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, and also then you're playing a 2-drop that triggers your Tanufel Rhyme Speaker.
Correct.
Oh, when you were snapped up these Pummelers, pick whatever, 8 and 9, I was like, this dude is so vivid pilled.
Combos with Tam.
But that's crazy. Yeah. They're so good with both of your first 2 picks. Okay. I'm sold.
But and then I ended up totally biffing this draft. We're not going to get into it, but I think I did really well through the first two packs, other than I really like what you said, pack one, pick five. I think I should have taken Wary Farmer there for sure. Mm-hmm. I think I generally did well, and then ultimately never decided whether blue or white was going to be my second color, and I needed to decide, and I ended up in this three-color garbage pile. So I biffed it in pack three pretty hard in this draft.
Oh, yeah, when I went to look at the deck pick, I saw your mana base, and I was like, I thought Ben's whole thing last week was, my vivid decks are always two colors.
No, I biffed it in this draft. This was late at night, last night, after hosting a very large event yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I usually don't get bit. I was thinking about you at the end of this draft, because Ethan and I, if you've ever watched us draft on stream, Ethan is constantly shifting cards to the sideboard in and out, and at the end of the draft has his 23 ready to go. And while I'm drafting, it's very much a flow state, and all cards are in consideration, and I am reluctant to move cards to the sideboard, and I got bit by it really hard in this draft.
That's why you don't want to do the Merfolk card pick one, Elves card pick two, is because it would require you to move some
to make
things
decisions. Yeah,
to the sideboard.
I hate looking at that.
And you don't want to do that. You're just like, no, okay, if I have four black cards to start, they could all make my deck and I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
That is very funny. It's very funny. Could take you through another one of mine that I thought was pretty interesting. And then before we wrap up here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so pack one, pick one. Again, I don't remember what was in this pack, but I took Disruptor of Currents, the 3-blue-blue, 3-3, Flash Convoke Merfolk. When this creature enters, return up to one other target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Yes, it says Merfolk on it, but this is just a great blue card.
Great card.
Pack one, pick two. Is there a print run here that I'm seeing this rare and this uncommon again in this pack? I think it's pretty clear. I mean, it's between two red spells. I guess we could shout out, there is Marrow Skyswimmer in the pack if we wanted to go Merfolk. There's a Seer, the one in a red deal four, and also the same rare from your draft, Endblaze Epiphany, the X in a red kill spell.
Yeah, I like Endblaze Epiphany here quite a bit.
Yeah, and I can be blue-red with these two cards, happily. Pack one, pick three, there is a Kulrath Zealot, the 5 in a red, 6/5, when it enters, exile the top of your library, and has land cycling for one in a red. There's Gravelgill Scoundrel, the 1 in a blue, 1/3 Vigi Merfolk, and one of my favorite rares in the set, Kirol Attentive First Year, the 1 Boros, 3/3, tap 2 untapped creatures you control to copy target triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for the copy, activate only once each turn.
So funny, I think this is my favorite rare from the set, and when we were doing the set review, or I don't know, whenever the first time I saw this card, I was like, oh, get these commander rares that are sucking limited out of here. I think it is one of my favorite rares, if not my favorite rare in the set.
What would, off the top, like, what is your favorite thing you've copied with this?
Oh, Kith Keeper on 5 for sure.
Oh!
Kith Keeper on 5 for sure.
That is sick. My favorite is doming my opponent out with Lasting Tarfire for 4 on my turn and their turn.
Nice.
But yeah, Kirol's awesome. Yeah, so this is just mono rares so far. Pack one, pick four. I'm curious to hear, because I bet you don't take
the whole. I hate this pick. I hate this pick.
I love this pick.
I don't think it's wrong, but I hate it.
Okay, so there's a mischievous Sneakling, the 1 Dimir 2/2 Changeling with Flash. There's a Spiral into Solitude, the 1 and a white Pacifism Aura. And there's a Gathering Stone, the 4-mana artifact. Choose a creature type that costs less, 1 less to cast. And when it enters and in your upkeep, you surveil 1, basically. Like, look at the top. If it's that type, put it in your hand. If not, you can bin it.
Okay, you took Gathering Stone here.
I did.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
About Gathering Stone, and a question for you about me about Gathering Stone.
Yes.
Question for you first.
Yes.
Taking Gathering Stone here, is your goal at this point in the draft, Endblaze Epiphany, Kirol Attentive First Year, Disruptor of Currents, now selecting Gathering Stone, is your goal to end up in a Typal deck still?
No.
No.
Not anymore.
I think this Gathering Stone ends up pushing you that way a little bit, potentially, but we'll get into that as we go a little further in the draft. Question for you, for me, knowing how I like to draft and knowing my fear of commitment for Typal decks, do you think Gathering Stone's still right for me here? Because I don't.
Yeah, because you love Changelings.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, Surveil, like, I had this in that elf deck I drafted in paper this week. And my elf count was low because it was, like, I basically didn't have a pack two because the person directly to my left was also in elves. And I still play, Gathering Stone had, I think, 11 hits in my deck, which I think is more than enough. I had it in a game where it never hit. And I still was good. Happy to have Surveil five times, you know?
I know. Like, Gathering Stone's good. I Mischievous Sneakling is way too tempting for me here. Like, I haven't done a blue-red Vivid deck yet, and there's outs if you see a Shine Striker, which is, it was loose, but also Curel into Disruptor is so good, and having a board when Disruptor comes down and Sneakling helps you do that.
But Gather, yeah, the thing about Gathering Stone that I like it better than Sneakling is like,
its ceiling's like, way higher.
And its floor is higher. Like, I think Gathering Stone's floor is still high. Like, I would be curious for you to go through whatever number of decks you want and look at, like, what's your deck that has the lowest, highest creature type?
It's like, I typically hover around 7 to 8 of a certain type.
Gathering Stone is going to be great in your 7 to 8 type decks.
I understand. I hate Gathering Stone. I hate Gathering Stone. I hate Dawnblessed Pennant. There are enough rewards for typal decks without artifacts that only go in a typal deck.
So I took the Gathering Stone. Pack one, pick five. For me, this is a clear air quotes signal that Mud Button Curse Tosser is here. This is a single black 2/1 goblin. Can't block when it dies target creature and opponent controls with power, or destroy target creature and opponent controls with power 2 or less. I think this card is besides those burn spells, like the sort of the Boggart Mischief and Tarfire and stuff, I think this is one of the best non-rares for the deck.
Yeah, no arguments from me there. Curse Tosser is great. Makes sense to me after taking Gathering Stone that you take it here. Mm-hmm. If I had taken the Sneakling, which is what I would have done left to my own devices, I think I would be gangly stomping for sure here and setting up to be blue-red Vivid.
Right. And this is like, you don't give yourself the outs to like, well, maybe I get a Nuts Goblin deck here.
Right. Do not. Yeah, for sure.
And spoiler, I also don't get a Nuts Goblin deck here. So pack one, pick six, power level is flat. I think the best card in the pack is Assert Perfection. And I am clocking that it's here, pick six, because I think that's like later than most folks would allow it to be.
Sure.
I took Wary Farmer instead because I don't have any green cards yet. And I do have Curel. I do have a white card, so I could play Wary Farmer. Like, I'm just going to take a flexible, powerful card here.
Yeah, I would be. There's also a Squawk Roaster in the pack. I would be thrilled with my life with that Squawk Roaster sitting there.
Vivid life. That's the 3 in a red star 4 double strike power equal to your Vivid.
But for you, I like the Wary Farmer pick.
And then pick 7 with the information I had from like, Sir Perfection was here. I see a Scarblade Scout, pick 7, and I did take it. I'm curious about your thoughts here. Are you, like, is Soulbright, I know you're never taking Scarblade Scout with your route or otherwise.
Sure.
But I'm curious if there's something here where you're like, I like this, actually.
No, I would be on Soulbright Seer here, because I'm straight blue-red at this point,
you're
too.
You're blue-red, yeah.
And I do have outs to have a very good Elementals deck. Alongside being set up for the Vivid payoffs, which are Elementals. I would absolutely slam Soulbright Seeker here, and I would feel great about it.
Yeah, and then my sort of feelers about Elves bore fruit in that pick 8, there's a Vinebred Brawler and a Safe Right Cavalry. Yes, sir.
So your question, to dive into these feelers about Elves, like, we've not really clocked other Elves cards prior to this, other than a kind of late Assert Perfection mm-hmm. pick 6, which we're viewing as an Elves card, and the Scarlet Scout. Yeah.
Correct. That's it. But I am very, like, I'm cognizant of, I'm not feeling particularly good about anything being open. And so if I feel like Elves is open, I will happily get into that space. And if it's not, I don't feel like I'm missing out on power. Like, I'm not going to miss a Soulbright. If I end up blue red, I'm not going to miss a Soulbright Seeker or Runaway Together.
Agreed.
So that's why I'm like, but if I do end up Elves, there is a world where I will be like, dang, I should have taken that Scarblade Scout. Because it's a 2-drop elf.
Yes. Is there, like, what? We're just doing things so differently.
I know, that's why it's hard. It's hard to talk about it.
What series of elves cards would you have to see to make you move off of Enblaze, Curel, and Disruptor? Like, those three cards are so good.
But they're not good surrounded by chaff. And so I have that option available to me. I have these three cards and surround them by chaff available to me.
Yes.
Whether or not I take Scarblade Scout. I might as well take the Scout and be like, hey, if this happens, and it, I mean, I'm not saying, I don't know if what, I forget what happened. It's lucky because I opened pack 2, but like, Scarblade Scout into Brawler, into Assert Perfection pick 9, and Lisa Lana Informant pick 10. I don't think anybody's in elves at this table.
I don't know that you can infer that, but more open than usual.
More open than usual. Maybe there's one other elves draft.
Yeah. This goes back to, I think, the fundamental thing that we dived into earlier, which is like... Yeah.
Well, let's bring it home, baby.
It's the same question, which is, I'm in a spot where I'm blue-red, outs to vivid, and like get to play all three of those rares that we first picked. And I feel like with this, and this is why I'm scared of the bopping strategy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because you've bopped. Like, Gathering Stone leaves you open to a Typal deck. Mudbutton Curse Tosser leaves you open to goblins. Like, all of your picks wanting to spec to end up in Typal decks, check out. Like, they make mm-hmm. total sense. The Wary Farmer pick makes sense. Specking on Scarblade Scout makes sense to me here. But I don't feel like we needed to. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's like, we have those three great rares. We're like, there's a world where your three great rares, blue, red, you haven't specced at all, and you're open to seeing a lot of powerful cards. Whereas with this type of thing, like some drafts, it works out where like you do the Typal thing and you hit the nuts. Mm-hmm. But in this spot, like, I feel like we've got feelers out in a lot of places trying to kind of guess what Typal deck is open while maybe abandoning our three first pick rares. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the way I will summarize my feelings is that I don't like, I feel like I'm taking chaff basically no matter what.
Yes.
Towards the latter half of this pack.
Yes.
And I would rather that, and if the elf stuff wasn't there, like, I don't think I'm specking on, and it's hard to think of like what is a comp here. But I would spec on Merfolk. Like, if I saw a Gravelgill Scoundrel,
Gill Scoundrel, sure.
I would be like, okay. And that doesn't quite track because that still leaves me out to play Disruptor of Currents, which is part of what the argument you're making is like, I don't want to abandon these rares. But I feel like there's two camps for me. I can play these rares and fill my deck out with garbage. Or, I mean, obviously the greatest thing is I play these rares and blue-red is open. And I'm seeing good blue-red cards. That's not what I feel right now. So I can play these blue-red cards and I can take, you know, filler blue-red cards towards the end of the pack. I don't feel like that option is going to disappear if I say, oh, these I think are elf cards that are going later than they should. Let me take them. And if that's open, great. And if not, I can always play these blue-red cards.
Yeah, I'm with you on specking on the Scarblade Scout here. My, do you feel like, okay, so more clear question for you. With the route I take of Disruptor, Enblaze, Kirrill, Sneakling, Stompling, Squawk Roaster, and then Soulbright Seeker here. Do you feel like I'm filling out my deck with chaff? Because I don't. And I'm willing to hear it for sure if you do.
I think you are. I don't feel as strongly about it. For pick four and pick five, I think you are. I think taking Sneakling over Gathering Stone is a mistake. And I think taking Stompling over Curse Tosser is a mistake. Past that, like, I don't have enough vivid experience to know about Squawk Roaster versus Farmer. Seeker has been kind like medium plus for me. Like, it does some stuff in Elementals decks. I don't feel strongly about those. It's those two picks that I feel like are you not giving yourself out to hit a nuts deck, where I feel like you're sort of deciding I'm playing these cards and whether it's vivid or Elementals, whatever, but you're not really giving yourself flexibility to what if this is open?
I like, in some senses, I feel like I'm trying to think about how to state how I feel about like where each of us are at in the draft, like mm-hmm. Because I think it's interesting, like, and it dials into like this typal pushback that I'm feeling is that I feel like because you spec'd, you're in a less less powerful spot in the draft than I am. Like, I've taken on no risk and am set up to hit Elementals and Vivid. And I feel like because we've spec'd, we've kind of manufactured a crisis for ourselves about like, well, we've got to pick a lane, or if we have to go back to blue-red, we're not going to be very cohesive. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel like, I think that's what I don't like about your spot is that if we go back to blue-red, we're in a way worse spot for where you are than where I am for blue-red.
But why? So I think the difference is that you're going, I'm flexible. I can be blue-red Elementals or Vivid.
Correct.
And I'm thinking, I'm flexible. I can be blue-red and play these rares, or maybe I'm goblins, or maybe I'm elves. And you don't think that's flexible. You think that's messy.
I do think it's messy. Yeah, I think so. I think that summarizes how I feel about it. But I think what it felt like you were giving up is, I don't think there's any world where you can be vivid. I think that's the cost of doing business the way you're doing it.
Correct. Like, but that's just because I don't know how to draw. I still don't know how to do that deck. Like, I know you outlined it great last week, but I just haven't experienced it yet.
Okay.
So that is not part of my calculus of I'm giving up on vivid by not taking Sneakling and Stompling.
Sure. That is part of my calculus.
Yes, for sure, I know.
With those picks. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's helpful.
That makes sense. Format's so interesting. That is my big feeling, is that there is so much fodder for draft log discussion, more so than a lot of other sets, I think.
But some of that is just because
we're off the beaten path,
I think.
Yeah.
Or I certainly am off the beaten path.
So to the point, because I said I opened well with this draft, I just want to say, so pack two, pick one, I opened Tristan's Command, which obviously makes me feel oh yeah, great, I spec'd on the elves and now I'm getting rewarded. If this is the Ashling's Command, I can just take that.
You can also take Ashling's Command too. Yeah, I don't get to take Tristan's Command here. That's the upside of your
correct
your spot. I do get to take Flame Breeder, which is going to be nuts. But
you get Flame Breeder, which is awesome. But also, this deck is not Nuts Elves.
Right, for sure.
This is like black green vivid with no vivid payoffs. It's got Changelings. I've got Tristan's Command. I've got a Reaping Willow. I've got my this is this classic Gathering Stone. I don't know if I'm naming elves or Kithkin. But are these decks nuts decks? No, but I got five wins with it. And I think that's above average. That's obviously an above average result. And the deck, it plays well. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not trying to throw shade on how you navigated. I'm just trying to dial into, I think that what you were talking about with this format and the draft logs and the having more fodder than usual. I think the thing that this format does really well that I appreciate about it, that I don't think it is getting, I feel like it's not getting that much love from the community, is I think this format, at least for me, poses a very interesting question of risk versus reward. And I'm choosing the safer, less reward, and where you land on that spectrum, I think, dictates how much risk you're willing to take on the draft or how much specking you're willing to do. It gets met with a higher ceiling if you do it well and carefully.
Well, and also what your evaluation of risk is. Because we just sort of identified, isn't it scary that you're not leaving yourselves outs to this? And I'm like, isn't it scary that you're not leaving yourself outs to this? And you're like, well, I'm scared of that. And I'm scared of your vivid route. And so it's sort of, it's also about what do we think is risky, not only our assessment of our desire to be risky.
Yes, I agree. So all that to be said, interesting. And I don't feel like that is most people's takeaway, which is interesting to me.
But maybe we're just making it too hard on ourselves. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's fun.
I don't think so, though. I think there's a lot of juice here, and I've been enjoying the format.
I agree.
All right. On that note, thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content at lordsoflimited.com. There is links to our episode backlogs, our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, respectively, our merch, our Patreon page, all of that available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.